Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing how to pay less for almost everything.
Right, how to pay less for almost everything in life. There are some things that we can't or that we shouldn't ask for discounts on, Joel, right?
You're not going to get a discount from the IRS on the taxes you owe. You know, like, you can't, don't even bother asking.
I'm not going to be able to get my mortgage reduced by the loan holder.
Can you reduce the principal amount on what I owe, please?
I would love a discount. No, there are a lot of areas in our lives where we can ask for a discount. And generally speaking, our hope for this episode is that at the end of it, that you're going to still think that we're being frugal here, not cheap, because, and we're going to talk about this more, but that's one of the big strikes against asking for a discount is the perception of just coming across looking like a Scrooge.
That's true. Yeah. You don't want to end up in that position. We'll talk through kind of like how you go about doing it and
how to do it well.
Some of the tactics you need to take so you don't come across looking like, that guy or gal.
Yeah. So, okay, dude, speaking of being cheap or frugal, so Brood X cicadas, right? Like, there's a lot of talk about these bugs. I'm actually disappointed because I literally have not seen a single cicada here in Atlanta. Have you?
No, but I haven't been on the lookout either.
Well,
so.
Okay. So,
I'll explain to our listeners because I saw just some headline about cicadas being nutritious. Do they? Okay,
everybody's,
I haven't really
heard
read
about
up on
cicadas,
it,
but yes. Okay, so yeah, here's the thing. I'm disappointed. You mentioned nutritious. I'm disappointed that we haven't seen a single one because I came across this online cookbook that teaches you how to prepare, how to cook cicadas. It turns out you can actually eat these suckers.
Oh, man.
And so when I saw that, I thought, oh my gosh, you better believe I'm going to try to convince Kate that this is something that we should do as a family. And so at this point, we have not yet been able to do it because I literally haven't, there haven't been these swarms of cicadas like I've seen pictures of online.
So what, are you supposed to like catch these things with a net while they're in midair? What do you do?
Like, the pictures I've seen, they're like all over trees and just like at the, I mean, just in piles. I have seen places where there are a lot of cicadas, but it turns out that
you hand pick them, toss them in the frying pan.
So my mindset was like, okay, I'll get a bunch of them, throw them in a bag, throw them in the freezer until we get enough, and then there's different ways you can go about preparing them. They are nutritious.
Dipped in beer batter. Okay, that's what I want to do it,
dude. Yeah,
that might be the only way you're going to get me to
cicadas.
Eat one.
That might be quite delicious. But so yeah, that being said, would you actually eat cicadas? Do you think? I mean, so deep frying them. You think that's the way to go?
All right. So if someone served them to me, I feel like the classy thing to do is to give it a try. Right. So if I'm at your house and you guys lovingly made cicadas for dinner, like, I would take a bite, but I'm probably not going to go like cicada gathering.
It is not a part of our culture. I mean,
that's true.
In other countries, they eat bugs a good bit, and you can eat bugs, but it's just not a part of our culture. It's not the American way. There are going to be a lot of folks out there who are going to say, no freaking way. Are you going to be able to convince me to eat bugs?
I will say, I'll admit, I think that's part of my hamburger and apple pie, American Americanized taste buds. That's on me.
Slice the cheddar on top of that apple pie. Well, I'm on the lookout for cicadas. And if we actually get enough together, dude, we're totally going to do it. And make sure to update listeners so they know what's up.
All right. Save me some. I'll give it a
shot. And we can link to that little online recipe book as well that I came across that kind of explains how you can go about cooking these jokers.
Okay. Sounds good. I got to say, too, they can't be all that different. Maybe like they're the flying version of crawfish. That's what they seem like to me, maybe. And I like crawfish, so maybe
the crawfish of the sky.
Now that I've made that correlation, maybe I would like them because, man, I can pack away some crawfish.
They say that they're supposed to be, kind of nutty, but also very good for you. And the best part, free. Why would you not, like, if there was just a, if you see a random strawberry or tomato or something like that, like, would you not eat it? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing with bugs, in my opinion, but obviously there's a lot of differences between a bug and a vegetable. So.
True. All right, well, let's move on, Matt. Let's mention the beer we're having on this episode. This one's called Origins. It's by Crooked Stave out of Colorado. This is a Burgundy Sour, and they make pretty much only good beers, so looking forward to sharing this one with you today. But let's move on to the subject at hand, too. We're talking about how to pay less for almost everything.
Yeah.
And, Matt, have you ever heard anyone say, I love paying full price for stuff?
No.
No.
Nobody.
Me neither, right? But I think most of us, we never think to do what it takes to pay less on things that we buy. It's kind of like maybe seeing dollar bills on the street and then not picking it up. But I guess
that's cicadas like on the tree that you wouldn't eat. Like, what's wrong with
food?
You?
Yeah, what are you doing? why aren't you getting it? But maybe the dollar bill on the street's not a perfect illustration because some, you know, they might have like gum stuck to it or something.
What?
I'd be like, oh, nasty.
I'm never not going to pick up a dollar bill or a five or a ten or anything, definitely anything higher than that if I were to see it out in a parking lot or something.
Are you picking up a penny?
Yeah. Okay. Dude, I pick up all money. If I see money on the ground, I'm picking it up.
Even Canadian money.
Well, yeah, well, the kids think it's interesting.
That's true.
I do take them home, and if it looks extra sketchy, or if it's like, have you ever heard of the poop dollar?
No, I don't want to know.
It's a terrible thing. It's like a practical joke that people do. But if it kind of looks like, you know, a sketchy piece of currency, I'll take it home and wash it and wash my hands and not touch anything else before I do that. But
I appreciate your dedication to savings.
I am not above washing a dollar bill in the sink when I get home.
But let's talk about maybe easier ways to to save money, right? And I think, you know, there are some really simple ways for all of us to be able to get discounts on lots of things, but we're either just not aware that these discounts exist, or often we're just too self-conscious to take advantage and to ask for a discount when it's readily available. That's part of what we want to talk about today. We want to make sure that changes and that people are more aware of the available discounts that are hovering around them, and then also to encourage them to ask more frequently for discounts when you can snag one.
Yeah, last week we talked about how, we're spending so much money, dude. We're spending more money on virtually everything. Again, that's partly because of inflation, but also this has to do with societal and personal lifestyle creep or lifestyle inflation. And nobody in their right mind wants to pay more for something than they actually need to. So the problem is that most people, they don't even think about asking for that discount, even when it is easy pickings. We mentioned a stat recently where almost 90% of folks who called their credit card company to have a late payment fee waived, that they were able to get that money back. So the stats show that you would be overwhelmingly successful were you to ask for a discount there. Those companies are happy to do it just to keep you happy, but we don't get oftentimes because we don't ask.
Yeah, it's like, man, you can get that interest fee and the late fee waived. All you got to do is make the call.
All you gotta do is ask.
That could be like $50-$60, but you know, you're too shy or too unwilling to make that phone call. So like, why don't we ask, I guess, is one of the big questions here, right? Like, I think in this country, just like maybe we're particularly averse to eating bugs, like you mentioned, where that's just not part of our culture. We also too, culturally, we're not big into asking for a discount. It's commonplace in a whole lot of other countries around the world. Matt, in some of my travels, like going to some of these markets, they expect you to haggle. If you pay the price that they first say, they don't understand it. They're like, what are you talking about? You're not going to negotiate with me? So I think part of the reason that we don't ask for discounts is cultural, but I don't think that means that we're not going to be able to get discounts when we do actually ask for them.
I'm totally with you, man. Just like eating bugs in other countries is more acceptable, I think haggling should also be something that is more acceptable. I remember the first time I went to Central America, our guide made a point to tell us that haggling, like, that is just a part of the process. That is how a transaction occurs. That's a part of going to a market, right? So that's one reason that we avoid asking for a discount or haggling. It feels like we're being rude. Also, another reason we often avoid asking for a discount is because we're just not used to it, right? The decision to ask for a discount can become a habit. And since it's not a part of our culture, most folks are just out of the habit of looking for a discount and asking someone for a better deal when it's necessary. It's kind of like a muscle. You know, we used to talk about this a lot, but you know, it's a muscle that you can build up by using it over time. But most folks, they've got weak muscles in this category because they haven't made it a habit to ask for that discount. They're just underdeveloped.
Yeah, yeah. When you're out of the habit of doing something, it's tough to actually give it a shot.
Right.
You just haven't done it in a long time, or maybe ever, really. I think another reason, Matt, that folks neglect to ask for a discount sometimes is because they're afraid of rejection, right? A lot of folks are scared that when they ask for a discount, they're going to get shut down cold. And it's important to not let that someone be like, no, you can't have a discount on this, to get you down for long.
Yeah, I mean, that's a natural reaction, right? Like, nobody actually wants to experience that rejection.
They're not shaming you. They're just telling you no, and that's okay. And I don't know about you, Matt, but I remember in my single days, I had some friends who, like, when they would ask somebody out and they get turned down, they were like Teflon, man. They would go out and ask somebody else out. Like, then I would stay, I'd berate myself for like a week or two.
You're
least.
Like, all right, time to go home. Party's over.
But I think that's like a better way to react, to kind of have that Teflon-ish response to where, you know, you're able to get back up on the horse and try again and ask again. It's important important that maybe, like, if you don't get a discount that one time that you ask, not to let that prevent you from asking for more discounts in the future.
Yeah, just remember, it's just a no. You know, it's not a huge deal. I feel like we could all stand to toughen up a little bit. Maybe, like, you said Teflon. I'm thinking, like, less Teflon and more, like, cast iron pot. Like, that's what I want to be when it comes to rejection. Our reason we're talking about this as well is that it's also important to remove the stigma of getting a discount. And so on this episode, we're here to convince you that paying less is okay. Just because you're paying less, that doesn't mean it's always going to be an inferior product. Deals and promotions out there, they exist as a behavioral tactic to get us to open up our wallets. We'll actually talk more about that and the downsides of discounts a little bit later on. But there's nothing wrong with getting a discount. It's a mostly good thing, and it doesn't mean that you're this cheap, stingy, miserable person. And actually, how you go about asking for a discount, that actually has the most to do with how you're perceived. And we'll also talk about that later on in the episode. But just keep in mind that, you know, just because you might be perceived as cheap, that doesn't mean you necessarily are. You're just looking for a deal.
That's right. Yeah. And scoring a discount also doesn't mean you're automatically ripping somebody else off. I think sometimes people feel that way. They're like, if I ask for this discount,
yeah, they feel guilt.
They give it to me and I'm taking food out of their baby's mouth. Like, you know, that's actually
you're removing, you know, the Cheerios out of that baby's mouth.
That's what one of my bosses used to say. I worked at a restaurant, and like, if we would eat too much on break, he'd be like, you're taking food out of my baby's mouth. And I felt bad about it. I started to eat less, you know?
You're like, oh my gosh, I am.
I'm like, no, your baby's fine, buddy. But
then you see him take the leftovers home. And he's like, oh my gosh, you really feed that to your children?
but
he's being literal.
Yeah, I guess so. But unless, you know, a business is being forced to sell you a product at a discount against their will, they want to sell you their product. That's what they're in the business of doing.
Yes.
And so, like, as long as
they want your money,
they do.
And you want their products.
And so if that business can say no, then it's a fair transaction. That's how markets work. It's supply and demand, right? And there might be some folks out there who feel like they're taking advantage of other people when they get a better deal. But as long as we're in the context of a free market, everyone really wins, right?
Absolutely, man. So it makes me think of, you know, before starting the podcast with you, I used to be a photographer, and folks would often ask for a discount. Was I ever offended? Never.
Well, did you ever say yes? No.
Sometimes.
No, I'm sure you did a couple
times. Yeah, I did say yes, because if business was a little bit slow, if I didn't have a whole lot of shoots booked, if my workload was looking a little bit light, I would rather offer a 10-15% discount versus sitting at home and feeling bad about myself because I wasn't earning enough money. But you know what? If I was busy and someone asked for a discount, I could politely decline and be like, you know what? I would love to be able to work with you and offer you something. I understand your budget is maybe a little bit smaller, but I am just too busy. I'm sorry. I can't work with you. And so, yeah, when it comes to asking for a discount, which we'll get to a little bit later on, but also too, you know, from the standpoint of a business operator, you can be polite on both sides of the transaction.
Yeah, I think for either person, the person who's asking for the discount or the person who's being asked to give a discount, in neither circumstance is it a reflection of the quality of the good or the kind of person you are, right? I think that we need to get past that. We need to move past that. That's kind of part of what it looks like to pay less for things and to ask for a discount. But Matt, there are some downsides to discounts. In some ways, discounts can actually be bad for consumers. We'll talk about that right after this break.
We're back. We're talking how you can pay less for almost everything out there. And Joel, yes, we simultaneously love discounts, but there is a darker side to them. Let's talk about the downsides to discounts.
They're like Jekyll and Hyde, you know?
Yeah, it's true, man. There's always a yin and a yang to it. There's always a balance. You know, we're in favor of asking for discounts, but paying less isn't always a good thing. When we talked back with Michelle Singletary last week, and she said that discounts make us dumb, there can be some truth to that, man. You know, when we prioritize price over the quality of the item that we're buying, it can lead to buying junk that doesn't last all that long. Getting the lowest price can feel like this game, but oftentimes it's a game that some folks lose because they are way too focused on getting a deal. And, you know, then we have items that we don't really enjoy or use all that often because they're just made to fall apart. This is an instance where spending a little more on an item can actually cause you to come out ahead in the long run when it comes to your money.
Very true. Been there. I've talked about that on the show before. My penchant for deal loving actually came back to bite me in many instances when I was younger. Just, yeah, buying general
crap,
stuff that wasn't didn't hold up as well. And I've learned my lesson over the years, and you know, I'm a reformed deal addict, I'll say, maybe. I think, yeah, it can cause us to buy too much junk, right? Because like running in tandem with focusing on price over quality, discounts can cause us to buy more stuff. Like,
yeah, too much stuff, yeah. Not just poor quality stuff, but just too much quantity.
You become the opposite of a minimalist, basically, right? Yeah, we buy stuff way too often in order to score a deal, leading us to buy and own way more than we actually need. And this is partly due to what's called anticipatory regret, right? It leads to
fancy
this
term.
Yeah, well, you know, we get fancy here on Out of Money. But yeah, it really, what that does is it leads to a sense of urgency to pounce before this deal no longer exists. I mean, that's exactly what retailers are trying to get you to do. They're creating this heightened sense that this deal only lasts for so long. You better get it while it's hot. And that's when we end up with an attic or a garage full of wonky items, maybe items that we never used, half-broken items from our house, a dresser full of clothes that we don't really wear. I mean, we just have to keep reminding ourselves that we got a deal, though, because if we don't, we're going to be heartbroken over all the money we've wasted.
At least you got that deal. At least you saved money, and you got all the stuff that you no longer use, yep, or that you don't even like. And then before you know it, you're paying rent to house all your stuff in this place that's called a self-storage. And then we all know where this goes, Joel. Then you're on A&E's Hoarders. You're the subject of other people's entertainment.
That's right. Someone's buying your whole storage unit for like $175 or something.
That's when you've really lost out. And also, man, studies show that getting a discount, it reduces the chance that we'll shop around, right? When we're presented with an easy coupon at checkout or just for signing up for their newsletter, we're more apt to quickly pounce on that deal. And again, this is that fancy term, anticipatory regret, that you mentioned. Internet retailers have caught on to our desire to get a deal, and it makes us feel good to see that discount. It gives us that hit of dopamine. It makes it feel like that we found a treasure, even when it's just like spoon-fed to us. But often those deals that are touted, they're not really deals at all. And, you know, we would find that out if we did some shopping around before purchasing, you know, just because there's a coupon code for 10%, we make that purchase. But if we did a little bit of shopping around, we'd find out that another store might be selling that same item for 20% off with no code even necessary at all.
Yeah, so that's another downside to deals, is how do we know when a deal is actually a deal, especially in today's atmosphere, right? Like, technology and online shopping has made it easier to be a savvy consumer with like hundreds of retailers at our fingertips. It's easier than ever to compare apples to apples, especially using a plugin like Honey to be able to tell for sure. Like, they'll tell you price history on that one website, and then you can compare. And then often Honey will find coupon codes for you or compare to other websites.
Yeah, Capital One Shopping, dude, that's another one too that's kind of come on the scene that's actually really good too.
Yeah, so checking out like, yeah, both of those can help you know, okay, this is being touted as a deal, but maybe it's not as good as it looks, at least at first glance. But it can be more difficult when you're shopping for something in person, right? For example, if you're buying from a car dealership, they talk all about the discounts that they're offering you, but is it really cheaper than you could get that car for elsewhere? And especially if you're in person on the dealer lot, chances are you've already made mistake number one, right?
Yeah, when you're bound by geography, those perceived discounts, I think they come across as even more powerful, because oftentimes, you know, you're not going to be like, hold on 1 second, pull out your phone or pull out your laptop and search, you know, Carvana, CarMax, see what someone's selling theirs for on Craigslist. Most folks are less likely to do that.
Yeah, and so it's often just the energy of the salesperson who's making you feel something, as opposed to, you know, the facts being legitimately in favor of this car being a deal. And so it's really important to do your due diligence before blindly believing that the discount that you're being offered is worthwhile and represents the lowest price. So yeah, I think when we talk about that Michelle Singletary line, discounts make us dumb. Yeah, we got to make sure we don't let discounts make us dumb, because it's far too easy to let that limited discount information set off a light in our brain saying buy it now, when ultimately that's a bad decision.
Yeah, I think this is probably a good reason too why sites like Carvana and CarMax are doing so well. I mean, obviously they make it easier to buy a car because you can just sit there and, you know, do it from your phone even, which is crazy to think that, oh yeah, I'm just going to buy a car on my phone.
If you would have told me that 15 years ago, I'd be like, no.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah, there's no way. But it does allow you to take your time, look at the prices and shop around. And I think folks are realizing the value that they're able to receive through that process, through being able to take their time and do their due diligence, not being forced into a sale in person. And it's also important to point out that discounts come in a number of different flavors.
Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. My favorites.
What about mint chocolate chip?
Cicada flavored, maybe.
Oh my gosh. That actually sounds pretty gross. It might most closely resemble pistachio. There's a place near us actually that has salted caramel. That's kind of one of the local favorites around here, right?
That's a classic.
Are you a fan of the salted caramel?
Yeah, that's my wife's favorite, okay, though, for sure.
And so when it comes to how that is translated to discounts, that can often be the typical percentage off that we'll see, or BOGOs, right? Buy one, get one free, that we're used to seeing. Or maybe that might even mean more complicated discounts, like, you know, a rebate or a free gift with purchase. Either way, it's important to make sure that you're not allowing your consumer behavior to be swayed by these different marketing tactics. This is when it's important to just to be able to know yourself. So if you know that you like receiving gifts, well, you know, that promotion where you get some free goodies, that may cause you to pay more when in reality, those aren't items that you truly need, right? And so stay away, make sure that you're able to that you're able to parse your way to the bottom line number to know if you're truly getting a deal.
Yeah, I feel like one of the discounts that most easily leads people astray is the buy one, get one 50% off.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, man, in reality,
that sounds great.
They're coaxing you into buying something else that you might not have otherwise bought. You're buying a second item. And, you know, when you boil the discount down, it's really not that much off. So I think that is definitely, you know, one of the more heinous discounts out there.
Sure.
But let's talk to Matt. One of the other downsides is that it's hard to know when haggling is okay and when it isn't. Sometimes it's obvious you're not likely going to score a discount at a nationwide grocery chain when you're checking out with your groceries.
You're right.
Like, can I get $5 extra off on this load? Or, you know, like, charge me $2 less for the cicada flavored ice cream.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're not going to do that.
Man, we're really driving home the cicada thing, aren't
we? I know. I love beating the dead horse. But you are likely to get something for less when you're buying on, let's say, Facebook Marketplace, right?
Yeah.
That's a place where haggling or asking for a discount makes sense, and you should do it in pretty much every case.
Yeah, you're talking here about like the social and the cultural norms when it comes to negotiating and buying.
Yeah, and where you're buying makes all the difference, right?
Absolutely.
But it's also important to know that it's okay far more often than you think it is. And it's important to at least start going for that initial low-hanging fruit to start paying less on a consistent basis, right? Like when you are at a yard sale or buying some baby gear, let's say on Craigslist, start small and ask in situations where you feel most comfortable in order to get used to asking if you can get an even better price. It will feel less awkward as you attempt it more and more. And Matt, I was selling something recently on Facebook Marketplace, and it was basically it was some cloth diapers that we no longer need.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because they were up there for like 6 months and nobody bit on these things. And I was like, yeah. Oh.
Well, maybe that's because they're diapers.
Yeah, and I was like, but they're cloth, you know, they're washed and clean.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I'm gonna be giving these away.
Yeah.
But somebody reached out and they were like, hey, can I come by and take a look? I was like, sure. And they paid full price.
Nice.
I mean, you got to read the room though, man, because like I would have taken like half price at that point in time. They've been on there so long. So it's one of those things where—
Zero comments.
Yeah.
No backups.
I'm more than happy to take all the money, but I'm just saying like that buyer could have gotten a discount far more easily than maybe they thought they could. It was like right for the picking.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you kind of get to another point too, which is when you're negotiating and you're talking online, it's even easier to do that online when you're hiding behind your keyboard, right? And sometimes you don't even have to ask. You know, we've already talked about coupons, but just searching for coupons is one way that you can find that discount without even having to have a potentially awkward conversation either digitally with somebody or even in real life. Because, right, as millennials, we're always trying to avoid those, you know, real life conversations that feel awkward. But, you know, just even still, though, those online chats, going to Twitter, sliding into the DMs, or even sending an email to a company that you're hoping to buy from are much easier ways to ask for a discount than even being face to face.
Yeah. So start with the easy stuff, right? Start with a chat with a company that you're looking to buy something from. Hey, do you have an extra 10% off coupon going on right now? Or do you have a sale coming up that I don't know about? Yeah, that's like a good way to start. And you don't really have to offend a person. It's like a chatbot sort of situation.
They're just an employee. They don't care.
Yeah. One of my favorite other places to get a discount without really any heavy lifting is on eBay. They have like a make an offer thing that a lot of buyers will put in their listing. Mm-hmm. And so you can either like buy it now, or you can bid on it, or you can make an offer. And so if there's the make an offer button available, I always make an offer. So I might get like a pair of shorts that they were selling for $20, make an offer at like $15.50. See what happens.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, you know, hitting the easy button when it comes to like testing your discount asking capabilities.
Yeah, so clearly we're big fans of everyone trying to get as many discounts as possible. I mean, honestly, you can just ask. All they can say is no. And again, the more you do it, the more likely it is that you'll get discounts on the reg. But keep in mind that there are going to be some instances where you're not likely going to be able to get a discount, or even instances where it might be offensive if you're trying to pay less. And so that's why the way in which you ask makes all the difference. Going about it in the right way, that is crucial, and we'll talk more about that right after this break.
All right, we're back. Still talking about how to pay less for almost everything. And Matt, what you said before the break is true. Your approach means everything. What do they say? You catch more flies with honey than vinegar?
I've heard that.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think the way in which you present yourself, the way in which you ask, can make all the difference. If you come in assuming that you're owed a discount,
oh yeah,
then that's not going to go over well. And I'm sure you felt that too. The way in which the email was written when someone asked for a discount when it came to photography makes all the difference too in how you respond and whether or not they get one. So you got to make sure your approach is solid. So let's talk about that and what you should be doing to ensure that you're getting discounts on goods and services that you were already planning on getting. Because again, we don't want discounts to make you dumb and more susceptible to buying stuff that you don't already need. So let's talk about, yeah, the stuff that you would be buying already, how you pay less. Well, the first tip is to be prepared. Do your research. Like, what's a fair price? Some stores are going to match or even beat the price that competitors are selling that item for. And it can be insulting if you're asking for an unrealistic discount. It's like asking a wedding photographer in their extremely busy season for a discount feels like a faux pas.
It's like, how about half price? It's like, well, how about nah?
But asking them for a small discount in the off season when they probably have fewer weddings, maybe on an off day even.
I would even encourage it, dude. I mean, seriously, because it was just
you
a way
do
for
a
me
Wednesday
to keep
wedding,
my...
Right?
Oh, dude, yeah, weekday weddings were the best. And same thing with your shorts, you know, if you're looking at a pair of shorts online and normally, you know, $20 and you go in there and like, hey, how about $2 bill, like $2. Yeah, I mean, if they could like give you a thumbs down along with that no, I'm sure they would, but you know, they can't.
They probably would. They probably write me a mean little note when they say no, right?
One star for you.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, even asking a question like, do you have any discounts right now or coming up in the near future? That's the kind of question that you can be asking in order to be prepared. It's a great way of getting that discount conversation started.
Yeah, and again, how it is that you ask for a discount is crucial. You can do it in a way that makes the business owner or employee ask you to leave the store, or you can do it in a way that makes them far more likely to see what they can do. They
might get out of here right now.
Yeah, or they might just go out of their way because you've been able to connect with them on a human level, right? Your tone of voice and your body language can go a long way in convincing an employee to hook you up. You don't want to be domineering, you know, a sense of entitlement. Like, that's not going to get you very far, but you also want to speak up and you want to stand your ground so that you're not easily ignored. Essentially, I feel like what we're trying to convince you to be here is like likable. Like you want them to feel like that, you know, you are their friend, because it's easy to want to help out a friend. It's a lot harder to do something nice for someone you don't like.
Yeah, it's very true. Also important too, when you're thinking about your approach to asking for a discount, is to talk to the right person, because you might just be banging your head against the wall if you're talking to the wrong one. You might receive a quick no because you're talking to a person that works at this company who doesn't have any authority to give you that discount, and then you're like, oh man, didn't work. But that's your fault, actually, because you asked the wrong person.
Yeah.
So I think there is a way, let's say you get that quick no, to say, actually, can I speak to a manager or a supervisor? It may be somebody that has some more authority to cut the price for you. And Matt, this reminds me, one of the things I consistently do, I buy flowers for my wife at the Kroger nearest our house because they have really nice tulips. And it feels like every time I go in there, they have some that are out of date, right? Mm-hmm. Like they are sell by date, which that's a thing on flowers, I guess, right?
Yeah. And they want them to look fresh and perky.
Yeah. So like they're normally $7, but usually I can get them for close to half price if they're past that sell by date. But I got to ask the right person. If I'm asking at checkout, they're going to be like, we don't have any discounts. But if I ask the person who's like the manager of the floral department, they've got the little gun right there and they scan it and they give me like a few bucks off. And so, yeah, make sure again that you're talking to the right person, the person that can actually help you out, not just a random employee.
And another approach that might help you to get a discount is to offer cash. This is especially, I think, handy when you're dealing with local small businesses. But credit cards, they cost retailers more money. And so offer cash instead if you really want to pay less money. And, you know, it doesn't feel as bad for the retailer if they got that cash in hand for that product. I know when it comes to making a liquor store run, I'm always crunching the numbers to see if the debit card discount, if it makes up for that lost cash back. Because, you know, there's benefits when it comes to using credit cards, and so it might still make sense for you if you're trying to hit a certain spend threshold, if you're trying to achieve a certain number of points. But sometimes either using cash or even using a debit card can score you that sweet discount.
Yeah, and I agree. The local small business owner is likely going to be the most receptive when you ask them if, you know, they would take a cash discount. Mm. Also, to consider asking for something extra instead of just a lower price. Maybe instead of getting 10% off, you ask for a deal sweetener that can be just as valuable for you, but it can make those negotiations go a bit more smoothly, make it feel a little less like you're devaluing the item that you're trying to purchase. So yeah, instead of trying to get that extra 10% off on a bag of coffee from your local coffee shop, maybe see if they'll throw in a free cup of coffee while you're there, along with paying full price for that bag of coffee. That's one tactic you can take.
Yeah, and that's definitely helpful too. If you know you're already going to make that purchase, it doesn't hurt to, you know, see if there's something that you can kind of get thrown in for free.
Yeah.
But when it comes to some bigger purchases, we want folks to also be willing to walk away. Maybe this doesn't apply to a bag of coffee, but the price really does matter when it comes to some of these different purchases that we make. And if the price doesn't match your perceived value, we would recommend for folks to walk away. And at the same time, don't be a jerk about it, right? Like, you know, we'll refer you back to earlier when we're talking about being nice. You can still say thank you. You can move on about your day without buying the non-discounted item. Or at least we would recommend for you to wait until discounts on that item start to appear. So if what you're looking to buy isn't necessary for you to own right now, then wait until that item is more likely to be discounted. So for instance, I'm thinking about like TVs, right? Like, you're always going to be able to get a better deal on a TV in November or January. And so go with the flow and hold off until discounts on that type of item until they abound.
Yeah, recognizing that seasonality is
seasonality,
helpful.
Because yes.
Again, yeah, you're banging your head against the wall if you're trying to get that discount at a time where the business just isn't interested in offering discounts. Yeah, you want to go with the flow when it comes to that. Agreed. And two, in some industries, it pays to be patient because they're so incredibly complex. Matt, I'm thinking of medical bills, right?
Like, right.
That's one of those things where it still always feels like a mystery as to what we're supposed to pay every single time we go in to see the doctor. Like, I don't know whether I'm going to receive a bill or not, and for how much it's going to be for or not. But I do know this. Never pay the bill the first time it shows up from the doctor's office. That is a lesson I've definitely learned over the years. Because, yeah, the way that insurance works and medical billing works, there's almost always a discount by the time the next bill comes around. So in that case, you don't even necessarily have to ask for a discount. You just have to wait. But then also, too, yeah, it doesn't hurt, especially on medical bills. There's so many different ways to ask for a discount. Most people assume they have to pay that final bill in full on their own. And, you know, that might be the case. That might be what you're stuck with. But there are a lot of ways to kind of work around that. Talk to a patient advocate that works at the hospital and, you know, find out what kind of financial aid you qualify for. There's a lot of ways to lower the actual cost of that final medical bill in your life.
Yeah, it pays to delay. It's just one of the only times that procrastination maybe comes in handy a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when you're looking to spend a little bit less on something that you're looking to buy, buy used stuff, right? This is kind of outside of the realm of haggling and asking for a discount. But when you buy used items, those discounts are just baked in. And when you're buying, you know, something on Craigslist or Facebook yard sale or marketplace, you can always ask for a discount there as well.
The additional discount on the discount.
On top of the discount.
Gotta
exactly.
Love that.
Or don't forget shopgoodwill.com. That's another favorite of mine where you can go on there. It's, you know, set up sort of like eBay, but all of these items are things that have been donated. So oftentimes they're not looking to make a huge profit off these items. They're looking to just unload them. But Joel, man, I love paying less for something that I've already planned to purchase. But, you know, it can be really easy for all the money nerds out there to say that they're saving money because they think that discounts are always this really good thing. And that can, you know, lead to some of this mindless spending and saving less of our money than we should be. But it's still important to make those spending decisions consciously and to ask for discounts on the items that you're buying more often. And so keep in mind that you really never know if you can get a better deal or not unless you ask. And you might be surprised. surprised that it's way less awkward than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, I think too, Matt, it's really interesting how you earlier you mentioned it's kind of like this muscle, right? And that it's atrophied by us, our lack, essentially, of asking for a discount when we really could get away with it much more easily. We could save some money, and it's good for us. And I think some of these tactics to be able to save more, to be able to ask for a discount, will help us pay less now. But I think these tactics will also help us in other areas of our life too. Our collective increased willingness to ask for that discount can give us the confidence to ask for more money in a job interview, right? To negotiate a lower deal on your rent, maybe to ask for a free month extra of rent, or to ask for a lower monthly rent amount, or to get like a nicer hotel room than you actually paid for when you're at the front desk. Just asking for like that sweet upgrade that you otherwise would have been stuck in the room next to the ice machine, but now maybe you got the penthouse suite, which is great. But yeah, since getting over your fears is really the biggest battle here, I think. It's getting over some of those cultural norms that have been baked in. And since saving real money is possible if we do this, we think starting to ask for a discount more frequently in our lives is really important. And it's the only way we're going to be able to pay less for almost everything consistently. But all right, Matt, that's enough about discounts. Let's get back to beer, okay? Yeah, what were your thoughts on this beer that we had on today's episode? This is Origins by Crooked Stave, and it's a oak-aged Burgundy Sour.
Yeah, this was a big old 750 bottle that you and I shared, but it was dark and velvety. It poured a nice brown color, and it was really acidic. I'm not sure what the pH level is on this. Now that I've had a beer by a brewery where they put the pH levels on the label, actually, I really wish.
Now you crave it.
I crave it. That's a data point that I want to have. But I will say I enjoyed it, but I kind of wish that it had more fruit flavors going on. It honestly reminded me a lot of malt vinegar. Are you a fan of malt vinegar? Kind of like you go to a diner, got the fries there.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They kind of got that going on. This is honestly what it reminded me of, but imagine if that malt vinegar was aged in nice, fancy wooden fooders. That definitely added that oak element to it, but I wish there was something else, like whether it's like maybe a little bit of fruit or maybe like a little bit of funk. One additional note I feel like would have taken this beer to the next level, but I still really enjoyed it. This was a really solid one. Glad we got to share it on the show, but yeah, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, man, this one was incredibly tart. It definitely had like a vinegar profile to me going on. And although it definitely had, a lot of those oak notes at the same time. And I thought it actually did have like a hint of like a tart cherry vibe. So even though there were no cherries used in the making of this beer, I think you could kind of like almost get that out of it. But I think this was a delicious beer. I agree, though. Maybe it could have used, it was a little one note maybe, but it could have used a little diversity. But still, yeah, really, really good. I pretty much love everything I've had by Crooked Stave.
Yeah, they make really good stuff.
Yeah, and I got to say this one still, I would put up there on like almost excellent level.
Nice, man. Yeah, for everyone out there, check out Crooked Stave if you have access to their beers. Joel, that's going to be it for this episode. Listeners can find our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com. We'll make sure to link to any of the different resources that we may have mentioned during this episode, like the Honey extension when you're shopping online, or the Capital One shopping app.
Sounds good. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. So until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.